Our reading is from Philippians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 9, page 1180 in the Church Bibles. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Good evening. My name is Adam. I'm the vicar of St. Paul's, and it's a pleasure to be speaking to you this evening. Particularly warm welcome to you if you're here for the first time tonight. Will you join us looking through the book of Philippians, a letter written by the Apostle Paul? Could name a church after him. I will stop cracking that joke at some point. I just have to get used to it. To the church in Philippi. If we find Paul languishing in prison, a prisoner of the gospel, writing to one of the churches whom he'd helped to found and to plant, the people who he loves and who have supported him in his time of need. And we've looked at various new things, a new confidence, a new hope, a new ambition. And tonight, in our penultimate one, we're looking at new resources in this passage from Philippians 4, verses 1 to 9. And tonight's big idea is this, that all we need for life can be found in Jesus. We just need to look for it. We're thinking about new resources, and all the resources that we need for life can be found in Jesus. We just need to look for them. Life is complicated, as is reading names in the Bible. I have often wondered whether Euodia and Syntyche, their quibble was about how they pronounced one another's names. We don't know how they pronounce their names, but thank you for doing it confidently, Joy. There, I will go with you for this evening. But I think it's appropriate on this Remembrance Sunday that we see in the Bible an example of conflict. I think often we can have the impression that the early church, the church that formed shortly after Jesus had been on earth, the church that formed around his apostles, his disciples, the people who had known him, walked with him, loved him, had received power from the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost, Well, I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we can think that the church must have been perfect, that everything they did was kind of like, it's like the Avengers, that they assembled and they could do no wrong. But actually, the early church was more similar to us in many ways than it was to the Avengers. They had questions. They had struggles. And as we find out here, they fell out with one another. I thought that Glyn's prayers, both this morning and this evening, were very moving. And the fact that he focuses on the fact that actually war and conflict on a national scale are just almost the epitome, the amplification, the end game of the wars and the complications and the conflicts that happen between each of us and even in our own hearts and minds. The conflicts that happen between our friends and our families, in our streets and with our neighbours, our work colleagues. When we put ourselves, our own gain, our own selfishness, our own pride before one another. And this isn't the way we want to live, and it's not the way that Jesus calls us to live. It's not the way that Paul wanted Euodia and Syntyche to live in Philippi. And as he comes to the end of his letter, we find him giving this personal plea to these two women who he knows, who he loves, who he's worked alongside, asking them to set aside their differences, to be reconciled to one another. And as he does that, he does it in the context of his final exhortations to the church in Philippi. And he's saying to these women and to the whole church, there is a better way to live. There is a way to live in Jesus, where he has all the resources you need to live a better life with one another, for one another, and for Jesus. And we're going to take a look this evening at four of those things. I think it's important to remember and to emphasize, as we do, that these aren't things that Paul is telling the church they must do. He's not saying, do this, do that, do the other, or I'll come back from Rome and I'll shout at you. I nearly said something else and remembered I was in church and I was being recorded. He's not telling them off. He's saying, there is a better way. There are resources available to you. And these are some of the ways which you can tap into those resources. These are some of the ways in which you can receive from God. And he can equip you for the whole of your life. And the first one of those is he wants to encourage the church in Philippi and you and I to celebrate in the Lord always. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it. And he is not saying, now, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times. He's saying it twice to emphasize it. It says, the translation that we have in church says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. As I was reading and studying and preparing for this this sermon, I was really struck by one translation that I read, which said celebrate instead. Because you see, rejoice, I think sometimes can have a bit of a worthiness about it, a little bit of a respectfulness that I don't think that Paul meant. It wasn't just, oh, rejoice. Good Christian men, rejoice. I love that song, by the way. Are we having that one at Christmas? It's a little bit one-sided, but cows around the piano, good. Anyway, it's been a long day and I need not to do too many tangents for your sake rather than mine. Yes, rejoice. I love this word to celebrate. You see, the thing is, celebrations were something that would have been well known to the culture and the people of Philippi. In their cities around, every city would have thrown a massive celebration to enjoy and to just have a party to say, we're the best city in the area. If you're a Philippian, you have just won. It's like we should throw a Kingston party. To rejoice in being Kingstonians. Is that a word? I've learnt something new today. They also would have thrown parties to celebrate their gods, to celebrate their emperor. And when Paul is saying, celebrate in the Lord always, he wasn't thinking of a worthiness or a sanitized rejoicing. He was thinking that when the Christians get together, they should truly celebrate. That their gatherings should be marked by exuberant joy and in the Lord as they sing, as they spend time with one another, as they enjoy each other's company. Rather than our worship being a chore or a burden, Paul is saying, let your worship lift you up. Let it be a resource to your life. Let it be something that powers you throughout your week and throughout your life. The second thing that Paul talks about here is in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I think this is, I told my wife that I was preaching on Philippians 4 this week, and she turned around and said, ah, yes, in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. To which I replied, yes, and there are other things in the passage as well. But I think it does, many, many people who have been in church for a long time will know this line. It's one that people quote to one another. It's one that people memorize. But is it one that we truly live by? I think sometimes if we look at our lives, we actually live by a completely different passage, which can't be found in the Bible, but goes a little something like this. In everything, look confident. Lean on your own resources and show no weakness. We, a lot of us, in Southwest London, in Kingston, we are very resourceful people. We are very gifted people. And if we're not careful, rather than in everything by prayer and supplication, taking our requests to God, we, in most things, quite honestly, do them in our own strength. Or we find a friend that we've made who can do it for us and get them to do it for us. And actually, it's only in a very rare circumstance that we take everything to God. I don't know how you feel about praying for a parking space. Since moving to Kingston, I've gone up on my hit list of things to pray for, I'm not going to lie. Even in the Vicarage Drive, sometimes I have to pray for a parking space. But Paul truly says, in everything, not just in the big things, but yes, in the big things. Not just in the personal things, but yes, in the personal things. But in the mundane, in the practical, in the day-to-day, in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Something happened in my house yesterday that illustrated this to me. On Friday, we went for a walk in the Surrey Hills. Very, very beautiful, autumnal, the leaves falling. If just you imagine for a moment, the trees, the leaves falling down, yellow, brown, red. And a couple of members of my family decided they would collect as many leaves as possible, take them home, and because they were beautiful and they would do something with them. So sure enough, on Saturday morning, the leaves came out onto the dining room table. The pens came out onto the dining room table. The paint came out onto the dining room table. The glue came out onto the dining room table. And little concern was given to the fact that when he'd finished a very long but encouraging meeting on Thursday night, the last day of his working week, Daddy had put his work things onto the kitchen table. You can see where this is going, can't you? And it's not entirely my fault, but I will take some blame for it. But sure enough, after about 10 minutes or quarter of an hour, a rather sheepish person came up to my study and popped their head round the door and said, "Daddy, there's green paint all over your work." And then they shared this. They said, "I was going to rip out the pages and throw them away." "But I decided I would come and tell you about it instead." They thought about doing it in their own strength. They thought about covering it up and looking confident and carrying on. I am very thankful that they did not, because we were able to sort it out together. A little later in the day, the same little person was going to go and have a bath, and they needed to wash their hair. "Will you be all right washing your hair?" "Yes, it will be fine." Little person comes out of the bath. Jen and I are sorting something else out, someone else out somewhere, quite probably. Hair is looking wet, good, very nice, and then I need to brush it. And I brush it and it stays very gooey. So I kind of like, "Well, you don't seem to have dried this very well." So we went and we gave it a little rub and dried it. Okay. Still very gooey. Okay, we've got that, and all the tangles have come out of it. But and then I went into the bathroom. What had been half a bottle of shampoo was now spread liberally across the bathroom, was deep in the bath, and what was left of it was nothing. And the reason that the hair was staying very shiny and very wet was that half of the bottle was still in their hair. But Daddy, I couldn't do it. This morning I told only one of these stories. I told the story about the paint. And I realised as I left, I walked out of church looking like the model father, kind and considerate and forgiving. The shampoo story tells a slightly different tale to my family life. Do you know how much shampoo costs? After I had, gathered myself and calmed down, we had a little chat about the fact that actually, when we need help, Daddy's there to look after you and to help you. So often, we try and do things in our own strength, don't we? And our Lord, our Father, is just waiting for us to ask. Whether it's something mundane like a parking place, or whether it's something truly profound for us or for the world, He longs for us to come to Him, to know we can't do it in our own strength, and to lift up our requests to Him. He has the resources. There's the tale of of the Chinese missionary who went to China with no funds and nothing to, and said, and people said, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, my Father in heaven has a blank checkbook and he will write anything for me that I ask. We have a God who answers prayers and longs to hear from us. Next on Paul's list of encouragements to receive resources from God are the whatevers. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. If there is anything excellent, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This, more than any of the others in this Bible passage, I've heard wagged at me. For some reason, people like to wag this passage at people. Whether it's my choice of films that I like to watch, Lethal Weapon, excellent. Whether it's the choice of music that I choose, I quite like loud and angry music, whether it's rock and roll or rap. People like to turn to me and say, well, whatever is pure, whatever is honourable, whatever is just and whatever is true, whatever is pleasing and commendable, should you be listening to that? And I'm not sure that that's what Paul meant when he wrote this letter. You see, he's written it in the context of these exhortations, of these ways in which we can find resources for life in God. He's written it in the context of this conflict between Euodia and Syntyche. And I think one of the things that Paul wants us to do is to look at the world that God has created, to look at the people that God has created, to look at the relationships that he's put us in. And rather than looking at what frustrates us, looking at what annoys us, looking at what we'd prefer to change about someone, I think Paul is encouraging us as we live our lives with God to look at what is true and honourable, what is of God in one another, what is just and pure, what is that image of God that is evident in all creation. Just think for a moment what a difference it would make to international politics. What a difference it would make to injustice around the world. What a difference it would make to our relationships if we focused on whatever is true and honourable and just and pure and pleasing and commendable in one another and in all creation. Finally, the last of the exhortations, Paul encourages the church in Philippi to keep doing the things that they have learned. It's quite a common theme in Paul's letters to encourage his readers to keep going. I think it can be easy for us to fall into a pattern of just taking for granted most things in life. I think it's true about food. It's true about relationships. It's true about the things we have in our lives and our homes. I did love it the other day when Granny was in helping us move house, at which point my 9-year-old then, as she was then, turned to Granny and said, did they have cars when you were growing up, Granny? I just giggled to myself in the corner. But the way life is for us, we get used to it. It's a thing about human nature. And unfortunately, it comes into our life in church and our relationship with God. So often, for so many of us, when we first become Christians, our relationship with God is amazing. It's the most exciting thing in our lives. We want to talk about it to other people. We want to go to any event that we can. But as time goes by, it becomes normal. It becomes normal to know that you are loved by the creator of the universe. It becomes normal to know that Jesus died the most terrible death to set you and I free. It becomes normal to expect the God who threw the stars into space to speak to you and I. It becomes normal to think that the God who knows all history also knows the hairs on each of our heads. The message of Christianity is amazing. And so often we forget that. And Paul wants to encourage us and his readers to keep doing the things that we've learned, to keep meeting together, to keep worshiping, to keep going to home groups, to keep up the relationships in our church, in our prayer groups. And then he says something which actually can be quite controversial. He says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. As often as Christians, those of us who are Christians, we're quite comfortable with the idea. The word Christian originally meant little Christ. And it was an insult thrown at the followers of Jesus because they were trying to be like Jesus Christ. Oh, look at the Christians trying to be little Christs. We imitate Christ. But actually, Paul is saying here, imitate me. And I think there is something to be said for this in our discipleship. Who are we trying to imitate in our walk with Jesus? Who have we put around us? Who have we got in our lives who we look up to as a Christian brother or sister and say, actually, I want to be around them to learn what it means more to walk with Jesus? And then this question that leads on from that is, who am I bringing up in the faith? Who is discipling me, but also who am I discipling? Who am I looking out for? Who am I praying for? Who am I meeting up with and listening to? One of the favourite parts of my job is just to meet with younger Christians, to hear what the Lord is doing in their lives, to hear what's going on, to pray with them, to spend time with them. And I often find, actually, the Lord speaks to me and works in my life in profound ways as he uses me in some muddled and befuddled way to disciple others and those around me. Today's big idea was this: that all we need for life, all the resources that we need can be found in Jesus. We just need to look for them. And some of the ways that we can do that is to celebrate in the Lord always. Rather than looking to our own resources, we can in everything, by prayer and supplication, bring our requests to God. We can look at the positives. We can look for the image of God in all creation, in one another and in our relationships. And we can keep doing the things that we have learned, following in the footsteps of others and bringing others along with us. Amen.